Good evening, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to the Ascension Secrets of Saint Germain show. My name is Troika Saint Germain, and I have fascinating guests this evening. You know, everyone is so enthralled with twin flames and wants to find theirs, and these two have actually found each other and recognize that they are twin flames. Their names are Antera and Omaron. Antera has written a book called Twin Flames, A True Story of Soul Reunion, which is their story. They're also singers and songwriter team, and they wrote and perform a two-person musical that's based on their story. They've recorded a CD of the music, and if that weren't not enough, they are the founders of the Center for Soul Evolution right here in Mount Shasta, California. So before we get into questions and all of that, let me introduce you to Antera and Omaron. Say hi, you guys.
Hello.
Hello there.
So, you know, I'm always asked by many people when I do sessions, you know, when will I find my twin flame? How do I know my twin flame? What is exactly a twin flame? So I'm going to turn that broad subject over to you guys, and Antera and Omaron and I happen to agree with the definition of twin flame and soulmates. And I'm going to let you tell people what the difference is.
Well, I think we'll probably define twin flames first and then soulmates, mm-hmm. and then that'll explain the difference. We believe twin flames...
You're fading in and out, Omaron. Can you get a little closer
sorry.
To the phone?
As far as the definition of twin flames, we believe that twin flame is literally your other half.
Mm-hmm.
Many people call it twin soul.
It's right.
The same thing.
Right.
Yeah. Antera and I believe that the last step before incarnation, we're actually split in two. We come to this planet, we embody different places, different situations, so that we can get all these different experiences. And even though we aren't together, and by aren't together, I mean sometimes, you know, we're obviously not even embodied at the same time, we still have this tremendous connection so that we know someday
we will be reunited with our other half.
When Antera and I met, we had no idea
we were twin flames initially.
We didn't even, you know, we'd never heard those two words put together before.
Mm-hmm.
Very quickly, we did.
And we also learned that it's an ancient concept.
You know, I don't know what's going on with the sound, but I'm hearing a few of your words loud, and then I'm hearing the next few faded like an echo, and then loud again and back and forth. Dawn, are you listening? Can you hear us? Dawn.
That's actually how I think we hear you also right now.
Really?
They're kind of coming in and out.
Yes.
Like a wave.
We're on digital for the first time tonight instead of analog, and I don't know what's going on. Hopefully the recording will be consistent because I'm hearing you in and out and you're hearing me in and out. Well, so let's just hope for the best. So, okay, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I wanted to see if we can get the sound better.
So, yeah, so twin flames are usually separated for many, many, many lifetimes. They come to the planet and go their separate ways, basically, and don't reunite until perhaps their last lifetime or in significant times in history.
Right, when times are really at a pivotal point.
Yeah, because
they come together to do
spiritual work or service.
Mm-hmm.
And that is an important kind of a hallmark of twin flame couples.
Right.
Whereas soulmates, we believe you have a group of soulmates.
Right.
These are the beings that are closest to you at a soul level. And according to the ancient wisdom, when we're differentiated from God, Goddess, the Source, we're born as souls in a group.
Right. The oversoul.
Yeah, that concept. Mm-hmm. And so these are our soulmates. Group two full beings. And then in turn, those each split into two to create the twins. So you only have one twin. Does that agree with what you believe, Troika?
I missed that last part. I agree about the twin flames are really twin souls, or the other. The one side of the coin is, and the other side of the coin, and that they're usually not together in incarnations. They're either on planet doing two different things and never meet, or one's in spirit and one's in form, and they only come together under very, very rare circumstances. My twin flame and I have only been incarnated on this planet four times.
Together.
Yeah. That I know of, and that's going
yeah,
back.
So it's really rare for
it is.
To be
yes.
together.
yes. And the soulmates, you know, the soulmates are the ones that you meet them and instantly you feel that recognition and you feel comfortable with them and you want to hang out with them, and they make great boyfriends, girlfriends, lovers, husbands, you know, employers, employees. You know, there's that instant bond. And a lot of people, when they feel that instant bond, they think, oh, I found my twin flame, it's my twin flame. And no, it's usually a soulmate. Twin flames are not always that easy of a relationship. What was your story? How did you guys meet? And did you know right away that you were flames? Or how did you discover it? What happened with you guys?
Well, we met at a seminar, a light body seminar, and there were 400 or 500 people there. And I was going for two reasons. One, I felt like, this is my spiritual family. But I also knew if I was ever to find her, because I was actively on the inner planes looking for her,
mm-hmm.
it would be at a situation like this, I believe. And,
mm-hmm.
and Tara was the first person I saw. We did talk, but I noticed on her left hand she had a ring. And so that just kind of, you know, I ended that right then. But we did talk, and it was a weekend seminar. And then 6 months later, there was a second one. We talked in that one. And then 6 months, another one. And it was on the last day, we just happened set of circumstances to sit next to each other, and we went through several exercises together, channeled each other's soul, and then at the end, you know, we just leaned in to give each other a goodbye hug, you know, and
mm-hmm.
wow, that was incredible. We were just transported.
Your bodies fall into each other?
That's a nice way of putting it. And there was no definition of me or her left.
Yes, it's like
and
your molecules
said,
mingle and just become
yeah.
one.
And I
yes.
said to her while we were still hugging, I love you. And at first I was shocked because, you know, I mean, I'll say it in a casual way to somebody, oh, I love you, you know, but
right.
this was coming from depths that I'd never experienced before in my life. And it felt like, it honestly felt like I knew her as well as myself, like I'd known her forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
what was your experience, Antar?
Well, it was the same. It was like, you know, he was an interesting kind of guy, but it wasn't until we hugged that I knew something weird was going on.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, something strange. And that often happens with twin flames when they meet. Something strange happens to get their attention, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and then I said, been together before, and it was almost like we were in a trance. You know, we were just translated into another consciousness, and we're saying these things and didn't know where they were coming from. So it was an incredible experience, but we didn't really understand what was going on. We didn't know what twin flames were or anything about them at that point.
Right.
So it wasn't until later that we got together and talked.
And did that ring on your finger mean something?
Well, I was married.
Oh, okay. That means something.
I was not looking for anyone.
Uh-huh.
So that was our main obstacle to overcome, you might say. And most twins do have some obstacles that they have to overcome. It's not easy to get together with your twin.
No.
Because often
so much work has to be done, you know, clearing of karma and clearing of baggage and all of that. And twins mirror themselves so well that if there's one little thing, one little pimple on the horizon, it becomes a mountain, usually.
That's right. That's exactly what happens.
That's
your twin magnifies everything that hasn't been healed.
Right.
That is exactly what happens. So, yeah, so usually it's not an easy thing to get into being with your twin, unless you've both done an incredible amount of clearing work.
Mm-hmm.
We hear from twin flames every day, you know, lots and lots of emails, and I don't think we've ever heard of a couple that actually just came together seamlessly. Maybe one.
No, I haven't either. So how did you guys finally figure out that you were twin flames? What was the dynamics in that?
Well, I've been a songwriter for a long time, and all of a sudden I started writing this song, or the song was coming through, let me put it that way, and it was called Twin Flames. And I'm thinking, I love that, Twin Flames, I love the name. You know, like you said, that was the first time I'd heard it, and
I knew you invented it?
No, I knew better than that,
okay.
But I loved the sound of it.
Uh-huh.
And I knew it was about Antera and us. And so we talked on the phone, and I said, hey, I'm writing this song. The name of it's Twin Flames. That's us. And then she talked about her guides to me. Remember what you said?
No.
Yeah, she said, well, her guide, she was talking to her guides trying to figure out, you know, because here she is. She's with someone that she loved. And she was distraught. She said, what is going on? Why is there this connection? And they finally said, he is your twin flame. And she said, what's that? You know, and they said, he's your other half. And it was actually 6 months from the hug before we met again at a meditation little group gathering. And 6 weeks after that, she actually told her husband about us.
Mm-hmm.
1 week after that, the three of us met on Mount Tamalpais, just north of San Francisco. And when he and I first saw each other, we hugged, we embraced, and the three of us went out on the mountain overlooking the ocean, and we meditated, we prayed, we called in divine guidance, we laughed, we cried. It was just an extraordinarily divinely guided situation.
Wow, that's incredible.
But it wasn't easy. I can't say that.
I know. I can imagine. But, I mean, how beautiful and how enlightened that your husband was,
Well, it wasn't. We had to go through some things. You know, when I told him, it was very spirit-led. That's what made it easy.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was incredibly spirit-led. And we just kept praying together, meditating together, and, calling for the easiest transition possible. Even after, my ex-husband met Omaran, we would get together, the three of us, and meditate together, and I would channel for us, and we would, really try to make it as easy a transition as possible.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't easy for him, not at all, and it wasn't easy for me either. But considering the circumstances, it was pretty smooth.
He is such an amazing man. Taught me probably more about having an open heart than anyone I know. And I'm happy to say he's married. He and his wife live in Reading. They're a very intimate, close part of our spiritual family and among our dearest friends. So it's actually worked out for everybody in the best way possible, which is what we kept asking for.
Yes, the win-win situation.
Extremely important for all of us.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's really amazing.
And my ex-husband went through his own transformations in the process. It really opened him up. So it was turned out to be a good thing for him.
Mm-hmm.
In the long run.
Yes, in the long run, but in the short run.
In the short run, it wasn't easy.
It was probably pretty bumpy.
Yeah. Well, actually, it was smooth. It just wasn't easy.
Right. But,
Rhett, when I told him, after we had talked a while, he said, okay, I'm just going to go in the bedroom and channel and talk to my guides and see what they say. And he had never channeled in his life.
Hmm.
He just said he was going to do it. He knew I did, you know, but he had never done it himself. So he went back in the bedroom for half an hour and came out and said, okay, well, talk to my guides, and they told me that I can either be a jerk and try to oppose this, or I can take the high road and support you two. And I've decided to take the high road.
Oh, God, how beautiful.
It was amazing. I was just in awe. I mean,
yes.
I was just, my mouth was open. And I was
okay. Huh. So, you know, I haven't given out the numbers yet if people want to call in and ask any questions. So let me do that for a second here. If you're in the United States, your toll-free number to call in is 877-876-5227. And from Canada, your toll-free number is 888-810-8322. And please don't try to listen to yourself on the Internet and talk to us at the same time, because there's a seven-second delay and you'll drive yourself crazy. So just talk to us on the phone and then go to the archives later, and you'll be able to hear yourself on the show. So anyone that wants to call in and ask questions about, you know, twin flames and soulmates and all of that, please feel free to do so. But, you know, since so many people do want to find their twin flame, Omaran, you said that you were really looking for her.
It was the most important
thing. Can you share those? Can you share maybe tips on how people can find their twin flame if their twin flame is incarnated?
I can tell you what I did.
Okay.
Among other things, I mean, I was asking, you know, my guidance. I call it my God talking spot on Mount Tamalpais, and I went up to it, and I just spread my arms, and I said to the universe in as loud a voice as I could, I either want to be with her or I'll be alone the rest of my life. I mean, this was more important than any other aspect of myself. I wanted to be with my other half.
Mm-hmm.
Something I'd, you know, in the back of my mind, been aware of my whole life, and that there was someone there, someone somewhere. When I was with someone, I was completely faithful. There was no looking or anything like that. But when I was in between people, that longing, that intense longing, just came back. So for me, you know, it's like we all know, as far as manifesting, the more emotion you put into it. I couldn't have put any more emotion into it.
Mm-hmm.
That was it. I literally, at one point, actually, after we had gotten together, and Tara's guide said, well, we thought it was a little premature, but Omaran was asking so strongly that we thought, all right, let's see if it works.
The squeaky wheel.
That's true. There were times when I thought it was a little premature. It wasn't an easy path, even after we got together.
Mm-hmm.
As of what we were talking about, you know, the twin brings up everything. Everything
mm-hmm.
that you have not dealt with, it'll be in your face. To heal. And the thing about twins is you can't have anything between you that's not truth, that's not real. You can't have any kind of blockages between you, or it's incredibly uncomfortable.
Yeah, you can't hide, for one thing.
You can't hide, you can't lie, you can't, you know, you just
can't
do that.
Yes, because they know exactly what you're thinking, whether you realize it or not. And
yeah,
feeling what you're feeling.
Twins do have a telepathic connection
mm-hmm.
to some degree. And we hear that all the time with people who talk to us about, you know, meeting their twin and how they just knew what each other were thinking, and they have all these things going on at the same time in their lives, even before they met. And, you know, so these are all how you can tell if it's your twin is because of this telepathic connection, the intensity of the connection. It's so strong that there is no denying it. You just cannot deny it. It's impossible. It's such a strong connection. And one thing about twins is they come together to do some kind of spiritual work together, spiritual service or work. So they always have projects, some kind of creative forth is unleashed when twins come together. And also, you know, I mean, I know we had spiritual guidance and it was easy for us to, you know, they told us we were twin flames, but other people don't have that. And but I think that usually by the time twins do get together, one or both of them does have a good connection to guidance, and they do get information about twin flames, and they start getting interested in it and going on the internet and searching it out. And this is what we see happening with people a lot. So usually by the time they get together, somebody does have a good, pretty good connection to get that information. They want to be together all the time.
Yeah. No, you do talk to a lot of people and counsel a lot of people about twin flames and all of that. Have you encountered circumstances where one is really ready to be with their flame and they recognize their flame and the other one just isn't ready yet and almost becomes afraid of the intensity and runs away?
Oh yes, this is very, very common, in fact.
So what do you say to the one who's ready? Because usually the one who's not ready isn't going to talk to you, I'm assuming.
Right. That's exactly right. The one who's ready.
So what do you tell those people?
I'm my twin, but they don't know it, or they don't accept it, or they're not ready. You know, they have other things going on. And, you know, once you've met your twin and you get that of having that kind of a relationship, it's got to be one of the most painful things to split up and to decide that you really can't be together.
Yeah.
Because no other relationship is going to compare.
Right.
None. You know, and so it's incredibly painful to have to, you know, to figure out that you just can't be together, even though you know this is probably your twin. But I, you know, the only thing I can say to people like that is that eventually you will be together. Always. I mean, it will happen in time, maybe not this lifetime. It might be much later, but eventually it will happen. And that's sort of the thing you have to hold on to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Troika, another thing that I was doing before I began my out loud calling for Antera was I was really strongly working on my spiritual body. Physical and mental bodies I felt were fine, but I put in a couple of years of really doing a lot of meditation, a lot of, you know, I thought lifting my vibration up in preparation for it.
Right.
Tara mentioned earlier, for people who aren't with someone but want to be like this, a soulmate or a twin flame relationship, the more you can do to prepare yourself, the better the chance of success in finding, you know, that person.
Right.
We're not ready. I mean, honestly, the only reason we were able to make it was because Antera had done all four of her body work, you know, years before, especially her emotional body work. She went through that in the 20s, several years of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And me, being like a lot of men, I thought, hey, you know, I cry when I see Tiny Tim at Christmas time, and had a knot in my throat sometimes in movies, and but I hadn't done anything in comparison to what I had there, and besides not doing any work, I had all this anger bottled up that would just break loose, you know, at inappropriate times. And it took years for me to, with Antera's help, to eventually get through that. And really, and we've seen other couples like that, and if at least one of them isn't on solid ground where they don't take all the junk that's thrown at them personally and realize, oh, the other person is just going on about nothing or playing a tape in their head,
mm-hmm.
It's way too intense to be able to make it. It's phenomenal. There's nothing like it.
Yeah. Well, you know, I come from the theosophy background. You know, when I was 13 years old, I was hanging out with all the 90-year-old ladies at the Theosophical Society in Hollywood. and in their teachings and also carried on by Alice Bailey and that tradition, they talk about ascension and preparation for ascension, one thing that that I heard and, you know, always stayed with me is that right before you ascend, whether on the Earth planet or literally in the air or figuratively in the air as you're ascending, you are united with your twin flame, because you need that wholeness in order to do the physical ascension or transfiguration. So what you say about doing the work is very, very important.
I follow that theosophy too. And, you know, the interesting thing is that when you evolve yourself, you help your twin.
Yes. Oh, of course.
Because
everything,
you're so tied together.
Yes.
And even if you're not together, you're helping
right.
your when you evolve.
Exactly.
And if you do something bad, you're holding your twin back. You know, so it's like there's just that connection there. And I believe it's probably true that you do have to get together with your twin to ascend.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, ultimately, all life forms on this planet, we are all one. But you really see it very dramatically so and understand that concept and how that is when you're with the twin and you see how you are one. I mean, it's almost like you both cough at the same time. or when one coughs, the other one, blows his nose or vice versa. You know. Because, as you say, what you do to help yourself helps your twin, and when you pull yourself down or allow yourself to be pulled down, it also tugs on the twin. So it's all about doing the work and all about ascending, you know, becoming the Christ itself, the ascended self. And that, more than anything in my belief system, will call in your flame. Or if your flame is not in a physical body at the time, you will become aware of them interdimensionally and have a communication with them that way.
Yeah, and actually I think that's also pretty common these days, because one twin often evolves at a little higher rate than the other one.
Mm-hmm.
They're always incarnated at the same time.
Right.
Yeah.
Hmm.
There was one thing that you mentioned earlier, Troika, in how if a couple is in a relationship and one of them feels very strongly it's a twin flame and the other doesn't know, or like you said, I believe what you can really do is just send unconditional love to the higher self of that other person.
Yes.
That's transformative. And that was actually one of the things when we were at our lowest point that Antara did for me and to me. She just had to reach down and find that just total unconditional love. That's all she was sending. And I tell you, when I was in that presence, I was totally transformed. There's no way I could stay angry. There's no way I could do any of the things I was doing. It's when you're on the receiving end of it.
Oh my gosh,
it's so wonderful.
It really is.
And the sending end has got to be wonderful.
Yeah, that's one thing I really learned with, you know, getting together with my twin, is to be unconditional love.
Mm-hmm.
To fully express
yes,
that, no matter
yes,
what
yeah.
he did or said,
uh-huh.
basically. Because that's what my guidance just kept telling me. Just love him. Just love him.
Right. No matter what.
We went through some very hard times. We separated for a while. I mean, it was really rough.
How long have you been together at this point?
We've been in 93.
93. And we've actually been together the whole time since after the 6 weeks, or after she told her husband about us.
Uh-huh.
We've been together
uh-huh.
since then. When we were separated, we were in the same house, which is almost worse.
Oh, gosh, yes.
She used to talk to me. And just, you know, she would come home from work, get her dinner, go into the bedroom, and the next day leave. And this was going on for quite some time. That was, oh, my gosh.
But that's what it took.
Yeah.
After that, he got help, and he...
Well, there was one thing that happened. We were in Mill Valley at the time, in this rented house surrounded by redwood trees. It was wonderful. But because she kept doing this, this was going on for like a month or more, I finally came to the realization that she would actually leave, because the next step was to physically leave the house we were sharing.
Mm-hmm.
And that was something that I didn't realize on a conscious level, that my twin flame could leave. I just thought she'd always be there once we found each other. And when I realized that she was actually in the preparation for leaving, I was lost. I was literally lost, wandering in the backyard. And she saw me, and she came up to me, put her arms around me, and I finally broke down and cried unlike any time I have in my life. That was the first of many since then, but it was a great start.
That was a turning point.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Well, I've got another little note here that I wanted to, I was thinking that maybe we should separate myths from truth about twin flames. I think we've already kind of done that, though. Unless you can think of other myths or misconceptions about twin flames that we haven't touched upon.
Well, I think, you know, the biggest myth that we have in our society is the happily ever after myth.
Oh, yes.
Where all you have to do is meet the right person and all your relationship problems will be solved. This is
a
huge myth.
That's a big myth, isn't it?
Because, you know, I don't know, because of childhood fairy tales or whatever, but we tend to think that the relationship issues are because we're not with the right person, not because
we're not right.
Really, it's not the way it works, because,
right,
you know, relationships just teach us about ourselves.
Exactly.
They show us where we need to grow. And if you don't heal it in one relationship, it'll come up in the next one and the next one and the next one. So there is no happily ever after until you have actually worked through all your own personal issues.
Right.
And, you know, and the best thing is, of course, to do that before you meet the twin. You don't want to be attracting your twin when you still have a lot of stuff, a lot of emotional baggage, especially.
Right, because that's going to be put through the magnifying glass.
Yeah, because that's what happened with us, with Omer and homework.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I think that's one of the biggest ones, and the fact that we aren't complete without our twin or our soulmate, because we are totally complete within ourselves. And just because the soul was split into two as twin flames doesn't mean that each one isn't complete.
Right.
And so the idea is to evolve as much as we can within ourselves, that is balancing our own internal male and female, balancing our own karma, getting to a place of wholeness and completeness within ourselves before we meet this intense.
Yes. Yes.
And all the soulmates that we can get together with and have relationships with, they're practice for the twin.
Yes.
How I look at it.
Yeah. But, you know, when people talk about the sacred marriage or the bride of the Christ or terms like that, they're not talking about you and your twin flame. They're talking about the marriage of the male and female within the individual. So it's all, you know, that marriage of the Christ, the sacred marriage, is the marriage within oneself. And that you know, leads to the perfection of this incarnation and this, you know, cycle and all of that. And of course, if you can do that, if one, you know, one, I'm not, when I say you, I don't mean you guys, I mean editorial one, when one can do that, then to meet their flame, then usually their flame is at that same level. And of course, then it is happily ever.
Because I had a really interesting thing about a year before we met. I had a dear friend who channeled for me, her guide, and my question was, will I meet my soulmate? And the answer was just exactly what we're talking about right now and was phenomenal for what it did for me. The answer was, you are your soulmate.
Yes.
And with that, I was able to really truly start loving myself again, just for who I was.
Mm-hmm.
I think if there was anything that did prepare me for Antara and I getting together, that was probably it, because it just changed my thinking from then on.
Yes. Yeah, it's so incredible. Oh, is that a caller?
Yes.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, who's this?
Melody.
Melody. Oh, Melody?
Yeah.
From Cottonwood?
Yeah.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Fine. What's your question?
My question is, what if you suspect that your twin flame may have been born to you?
Like your son or your daughter?
Yes.
Okay.
And I can take the answer off the air.
What?
I can take the answer off the air if you want.
No. Go ahead. Antara, you want to?
Like if you think your son or daughter is your twin flame?
Yes.
Well, you know, twins can come together in different ways. It's very possible that could happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that ideally, when you reunite with your twin, it's usually in an intimate relationship.
Well,
but
I have a very good relationship with my child, and in close to 60 years have not found that with anybody else. And we're so alike that it occurred to me maybe my twin flame was born to me as my child this time. And maybe that's why I haven't found him.
Could very well be.
Have you heard of cases like that before?
Well, I have. You know, and the four times that I know that my flame and I were incarnated, none of those did we have a romantic relationship. We were in proximity to each other, and we worked towards common goals and did things, but we were not married or lovers. We were workmates, and we knew of our relationship, and it was just, hey, we're here to do the work, you know.
Yes.
There was a closeness, a great closeness, but it was not romantic.
Yeah.
I think the romantic thing usually just happens in the last lifetime.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, because that's the ideal, that you send together and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think twins can come in any kind of relationship before then, if they're coming in to work on something together, which is usually with twins. They come in to do some kind of spiritual service work together.
Right. Well, like last week, my guest last week, Kenneth McNeil, was talking about different experiences he had with some of the masters. And one experience he had was with Bob and Pearl. Now, I knew Bob and Pearl when they were in the earth. Well, Bob had already left the earth plane, but I knew Pearl. And she and Bob knew that they were twin flames all the time that they were together, but they were both married to other people, and they just worked together to create teachings and gave classes and seminars and gatherings and taught people about the Ascended Master teachings and the Violet Flame and that type of work, conscious that they were twin flames but not romantic, you know. So it can be, in my opinion, both, you know, either romantic or just an acknowledgement and working together to create something.
Because I've always felt, you know, that my daughter might have been something like that to me because of a closeness we've always had. For instance, I've always known that I would have a little girl. And once she was born, I knew that I didn't want any other children. And the moment she was born, I looked at her and had this feeling that I had waited for her all my life. And then we had such a close relationship. We do everything alike. Well, of course, that is natural since I taught her how to do everything she does. But, you know, like folding
laundry.
Hey,
I don't do everything my mother taught me.
Yeah, but so that's no big surprise, but she's the only person I can actually live with and get along with and give her space, and she gives me mine, and we just understand each other innately. Nothing like anything I had with my own mother, but nothing like anything I've had with anybody else either. So I don't know if it's a mother-daughter thing or a mother-child thing, or if she's maybe my twin flame. I thought I'd ask.
Or your soulmate.
Yeah, or I was going to say, you could be fragments of the same soul.
I suppose that's a possibility, too.
Well, whatever it is, it's special and it's wonderful, and I know you treasure that relationship. So.
Okay, well, I'll get off the phone and let someone else call in.
Thanks for calling.
All right,
thanks, Melody.
Bye.
Bye. You know, we're getting short on time here. We've only got 14 minutes left, so I know you've got a great event that's coming up in June, involving the Order of Melchizedek and initiation, and I really would like you to be able to tell people about that. First of all, so many people have heard the term the Order of Melchizedek, and they have no idea what it is. Why don't we start with the basics and you tell people what it is.
Yeah, we have an June 22nd to 24th. We've done these many times before, initiations in the Order of Melchizedek. And we help people get initiated into this. Many people already are members in the inner planes. And it's a way to go through this on the outer plane and become more consciously connected. And the Order of Melchizedek is an ancient mystical priesthood. It's a cosmic order. It has nothing to do with a human-based organization. It's simply in our universe and has been here ever since there have been souls evolving, basically. And the name comes from Hebrew, meaning the right use of consciousness. And what they do is bring divine energies into human form. Guide civilization, to the universe, to higher levels of evolution, and the Great White Brotherhood, or Sisterhood, of our planet is a member, they're part of the Order of Melchizedek, but they're specific to this planet.
Mm-hmm.
The Order of Melchizedek is a cosmic order, and the White Brotherhood Sisterhood is specific to our planet, carrying out what the Order of Melchizedek sets out. And so all ascended masters, angels, beings of light are members of this order.
And how would one know if they should be initiated?
Well, I think most people who, when they hear even the name Melchizedek, something happens.
Mm-hmm.
Get a feeling that they've heard it before, maybe in their dreams or in their meditations, or maybe they've read about it. But people get a feeling, they get an intuition, and they're drawn to it. And so what we do is facilitate people going through and proclaiming their dedication to this order and to their spiritual service and alignment with divine light, in front of a group of supportive light workers. And it's a very profound experience. People really, they've told us many times this is the most profound thing they've ever been through, the most transformative, because it really sets them out on their path, of their spiritual path, their higher path.
By doing this, you are really, one who does this, is dedicating their life spiritual service.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what is happening here.
And the Order of Melchizedek continues to put out calls. They have asked us to do these initiations for several years now. We've been doing them for 10 years, maybe, but not every year. Once in a while, they'll just say, "Hey, we need another level of initiates." So they just, they keep asking us to do this, and so
mm-hmm.
we do it as part of our spiritual service. And it's an amazing thing to go through.
Can you describe a little bit about the event and what people can expect and what happens?
Well, it's a let's see, this time we're going to have we have an optional walk up Black Butte. You're probably familiar with Black Butte being a very strong energetic connection with the Order Melchizedek. It's a small mountain here at Mount Shasta. And so we take people there. You know, if they can hike, they do. Otherwise, they just sit at the trailhead and absorb the energies. So, and then we go. Then we have a. We're doing a SKIO session on Friday night, which is a group session I'm going to be doing with the SKIO, which maybe we'll have time to talk about today, to help people align with their higher purpose. And then we go through on Saturday is purifications and various types of energy work and a self-assessment. Get them ready, and then we have the ceremony on Sunday morning. And the ceremony is where people declare their alignment with the order and that's it in a nutshell.
And it's here in Mount Shasta.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never had my second line ring in the middle of a show before. I apologize. Let's just hope the answering machine, we don't hear the answering machine.
We don't hear it at all.
But you heard the ringing, didn't you?
No.
No.
You didn't hear that second line ringing?
No, and speaking of that, you must have heard our dog barking at something outside.
Oh, well, dog barks are music, are celestial heavenly music to me. So if I hear a dog barking, I think it's something wonderful. Okay, so, you know, we haven't even mentioned your website yet. We've got 8 minutes. You've got two. I know you've got twinsong.us, and then you have soulevolution.org. You want to, I guess it's self-explanatory. Oh, your organization is... Center for Soul Evolution. You want to talk a little bit about that and what people will find on both websites and other ways to contact you?
The soulevolution.org, that's the Center for Soul Evolution website. And that's where
the Order of Melchizedek initiation
is. That's where the people can go there to find out about the event.
Mm-hmm.
Our phone number is 530-926. 2886, if people want to call as well. And our other website is more for our music and my book and other land healing that we do and my SKIO session.
Yeah, I mentioned at the beginning that you guys have a two-person musical based on your twin flame story. Where do you perform this? Where can people see it? Do you ever take it on the road or...
We did take it on the road. We were on a tour for a little over a year, 2003 to 2004, and we pretty much were just between San Diego and Seattle.
Uh-huh.
Concerts, we did the musical, book signings, you know, a lot of things like that. We actually do want to do it again in Mount Shasta. We haven't done it for a while. I've been in music all my life, songwriter, singer, and Tara's been pretty much the same. So when we got together, it was just a natural outgrowth of our getting
mm-hmm.
Actually, those first 6 weeks, as we were truly discovering each other, I must have had 10 songs come through me.
Mm.
And those eventually were a big part of what was the musical. And then when we realized we wanted to, you know, put the book into hour and 40-minute form that people could just see, then we wrote some songs specifically, you know, for it to help carry the story through. It was
and those you have on a CD, correct?
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
It's a big production to put it on, so we kind of have to.
Oh, everything worthwhile is a big production.
Yeah, that's why we haven't done it here in Memphis. But we will.
I was in show business for a while, too, and I know fully well the term big production.
Oh, yeah.
Costumes, sets, lights, camera, action. You know? So people can go to twinsong.us. They can buy one of your books, correct? And they can buy the CD, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so people should do that. Go visit them. And while we're at it, people can go visit my website, ascensionstgermain.com. And if you want to purchase anything off of my website, when you go into the shopping cart, if you put in the word radio, all in caps, R-A-D-I-O, into the voucher section, you will get 10% off of everything that you order just for being a BBS radio listener. And then the last thing, we've only got 4 minutes here, is you guys are so multi-talented and have so many different interesting things, you should probably be on 3 or 4 shows. But Antera also is also a wellness counselor and a SCIO practitioner. And this is really leading edge, fascinating, futuristic technology. Why don't you, in 3 minutes, tell people about that?
Well, the SCIO stands for Scientific Consciousness Interface Operating System. And it's basically a state-of-the-art quantum biofeedback system. And it does stress detection and stress reduction. That's what it's legal for in this country. In other countries, it's actually used for diagnosis and treatment. But in this country, we only do stress reduction. And basically, it gives a very good picture of what's going on with your entire four-body system. If we do a scan...
So physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual.
Yeah, it tells a lot of everything. There's a lot of information that comes out of it. And also therapies that can be put back in to balance energy body, various parts of the energy body.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there's so much. It would be hard for me to talk about a whole lot in just a few minutes, but it's fascinating work, and I keep learning more and more, and I have to say it saved our life. Saved our lives at one point when we got it. We were very, very poor health, and getting this literally saved our lives. But I think it's so important for light workers now to get their stuff together and get on with their work. Many light workers are having health issues, they're having, you know, emotional baggage to work through, they've got all this stuff. And so we have these tools coming out that are just really, really helpful to all of us to become the pillars of light that we need to be right now, all of us. So I love doing this work because I see people, you know, ridding themselves of blockages,
emotional blockages and physical blockages.
Clearing up the etheric body so that the physical body can be
as perfect as it can be.
And it's very powerful work, and so I just love doing it, especially with light workers, because it's just so needed right now.
Yes. Yes, I was noticing that just by taking a little survey of my friends and people that call me for sessions is people that have been light workers and really doing their work and their service and stuff for a long time without too many problems, all of a sudden they're hitting a new layer and a new level, and they're really going through a lot physically.
We're the first ones to get the new energies that come to the planet.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a lot of it, you know.
Yeah.
We have to integrate it first.
Right, and we all need a little help doing that. And you know, so that's another service that Antera offers, and people can find out about that at which one, the Twin Song US or the
dot us, yeah.
Okay, so at twinsong.us, you can find out about the SCIO, how to get a hold of Antera and Omeron, how to partake of the event the Order of Melchizedek initiation. And all that. We've got 44 seconds. I want to thank you so much for being my guest. This was a great show. I'm sure a lot of people have been really helped and enlightened and encouraged by your story of Twin Flames and how to, I think we've given hope to some people that, yes, you will find your flame and how to do it.
Well, thank you, Troika. We've really enjoyed it. We love talking about this.
Yes, I know. It's such a great
opportunity.
Thing.
Thank you so much. wonderful show you have.
Oh, well, thank you so much. And in the last 5 seconds here, I want to encourage everyone to listen next week. I've got, there's my time. I have Andrea Arrowsmith is going to be my guest with her keyboard, and you can call in and she will play a little section of your soul song right here on the air. So thank you all for listening, and until next week, Violet blessings. Bye-bye.